had no interest any longer in speaking to his people Israel, and that he was no longer listening. As the influence and the dream of Israel's autonomy slipped away into a worldwide, powerful Roman rule. And how true are the words of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 78, when he said, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Even under the oppressive world taxation of Rome, God was at work to bring the light into the darkness of his people Israel in their plight. You know, Caesar Augustus had no idea that the most powerful man in the world wasn't him. He didn't get that. He didn't realize that there was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in the squalor of a stable in a manger in Bethlehem. A crossroads town, a town that was not of note other than as a trade route. In essence, just down the street from the truck stop, the king was born. Oh, the humility of the King of Kings, the one who holds all authority, subjecting himself to the iron rule of Roman authority, and was born in the most obscure and humble setting that night in Bethlehem of Judah. Joseph submitted himself to Caesar's decree. Though he wasn't really Jesus' earthly father, he was his father nonetheless on paper. And Luke 2, 4 says this, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." This was no easy journey from Nazareth to Galilee, to Nazareth. In Galilee to Bethlehem, Judah. The walk was about 100 miles, which would have been very difficult for Mary, who was now great with child, the Bible says, and soon to be delivered. So there was nothing like romantic or nostalgic. You watch these AI-driven videos and you're like, man, that just seems so nice. It wasn't nearly as nice in real life. It wasn't nearly as nostalgic as they traveled and she was 9 months pregnant, 40 weeks. There was no Christmas music. There was no Walmart. You know, there was nowhere to stop, right, to pick up the necessities along the way and nothing to make that trip to Nazareth easier. And then when they got there, of course, you know, there was no place to stay. There were no final checkups with the doctor. There wasn't a birthing center. There wasn't a hospital nearby. Instead, they packed what they needed and they headed on this journey so they could give away the resources that they needed to start a family in this Roman Empire in which they lived. It would have been a very discouraging time if they would have allowed that to happen, but they had a word. They had words from God. God had spoke to them very directly, very clearly. So Joseph had no doubt that he was in God's will. Mary was in God's will, yet it was difficult. And maybe today, maybe tonight, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, you're in a situation where really it's not that easy. And as much as we talk about the light of the world, it feels very difficult. Well, I want to encourage you tonight because the bread of life was born in a barn. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Who could have imagined that the birth prophesied in the opening pages of Genesis 3:15 would come about like this? The one who is going to have his heel bruised and step and stomp on Satan's head is going to be born in a manger in Bethlehem? Who would have saw that coming? But the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Malachi. The next time your mother asks you if you were born in a barn, take heart. Because Jesus was. A birth that should have been celebrated by emperors and kings and religious leaders occurred unnoticed by the busy travelers of Bethlehem. And though the circumstances seem difficult and dark, the word of God has shed light upon the significance of this birth 7 centuries before Jesus was born. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, the prophecy came forth 700 years prior. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. The everlasting one, the eternal one, is going to come forth in Bethlehem, according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, 700 years prior to Jesus' birth. Christmas night brought forth the joy of Christmas light. And that light, of course, was Jesus. And so I'd like to talk to you about the joy of Christmas light. We have Christmas lights all over the place. We've got Christmas lights here, and lighting things up at Christmas is what it's all about, right? There's just something special about Christmas lights and the lighting of Christmas trees and all of those things. And the birth of the light of the world, well, it was announced. It was special. In Luke 2:8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and glory of the Lord shone round about them." I mean, this was a tangible visual light. It shone upon them, and it says, "And they were sore afraid. Being in the presence of God's angels made them fearful." These shepherds were accustomed to long evenings in the dark, watching over their herds. And the text says they abided there, meaning they lived in the fields at night. They were used to being out in the fields at night. And while the entire world was moving about to be taxed, these outcasts from society, well, they did what they always did because they really weren't that important. But they were to God. Again, he comes to the most obscure places and the most remote places, and he announces the birth of the Savior to these outcasts of society. They simply stayed in their field and they tended to their sheep. They're exactly the type of people that God needs. People that will take care of their flock. Their job was to make sure that no one or anything harmed the sheep. Obviously, that was their livelihood. So without the honor of a soldier, the respect of society, or means to change their lot, nonetheless, they faithfully and humbly watched the flocks by night and protected what was given to their care. And then suddenly, the angel of the Lord shocked them from the darkness as he revealed to them the greatest news broadcast on the planet to date. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's Messiah the Lord. That is God with them. So fear gripped them at the appearance of the angel. Nonetheless, the angel went on to say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I'm sure the shepherds were thinking, "Me? Are you talking to me? Of all the people on the planet, God chose to celebrate his birth with the most marginalized people in the Hebrew society." The angel quoted from Isaiah 9:6 and Luke 2:11 and personalized it to the shepherds, giving them understanding. This great light breaking through the darkness was not just necessary. It was for Israel, certainly, but it was also for them, the shepherds. God had them in mind, "For unto you is born this day." He's talking to them. Sometimes when we get caught up in the Christmas season, it becomes somewhat mechanical. It becomes somewhat of all the motions and the all the mechanisms that go on. It becomes impersonal. But we cannot allow that to happen. Jesus didn't just come to the world for Israel. He didn't just come to this world for the shepherds. He came to this world for you. And he came to this world for me. If the news of Christ coming into the world is not personal, then it's not useful. Perhaps exposure to the light of Christ brings fear to your heart. Maybe even coming to church makes you a little bit nervous, a little bit scared. I understand how that can be. But take comfort tonight. The shepherds did. For the coming of Christ is a message that you can take personally, knowing that he is not just your Savior, he's our Savior. But he is also your personal Savior if you'll receive him. So I bring good tidings of great joy tonight. This message is for all people. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. This message is for you. That'd be a good slogan, wouldn't it? This message is for you, Bud. But unto you was born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2 and verse 12 says this, And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The gift we need this Christmas will not be found wrapped in festive Christmas paper, but wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was appropriate Jesus was born among the animals of the stall, for he was and he is forever the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, but one day he would be wrapped in grave clothes and placed in a tomb. And neither the manger nor the tomb could contain the glory and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because the birth of the light of the world should be celebrated. A tomb cannot contain it. A cross could not contain him. He came out of the grave. In Luke 2:13, the Bible says, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The light of the world is a cause for praise in heaven. The night of Jesus' birth is, well, that's why we still sing the song, Angels we have heard on high, to this day. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly swinging over the plains, and the mountains in reply echoing their joyous strains. It's glorious. The light of the world is the cause of peace on earth. Perhaps your life is in a dark place tonight, darker even than this room. I want you to know that you can cause heaven to celebrate tonight, by being born again. Yeah, you, whoever you are, wherever you're at, just as far away as Bethlehem of Judah, the God of the universe can find you, and in your darkness he can meet you, and he can bring light, and he can bring life. I want you to know that you can cause heaven to celebrate tonight being born again. Just as the angels get excited about the birth of Jesus, the Bible tells us in Luke 15:10, they get excited when a human, a fallen creature of Adam's race, calls upon the name of the Lord and receives the light and the life in the darkness of their heart, and he springs forth with eternal life and light. Man, the angels get excited when that happens. Luke 15:10 says, Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Man, can you remember the day you made heaven sing? The day you made the angels shout because you bowed your knee and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You received the light that comes from on high. You, like Mary and Joseph, were able to comprehend that God was with you. And you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. There's no greater cause for celebration in heaven tonight than you being born again. And you say, Brian, how did you know I'm here? I don't know who I'm talking to, but God does. That's not me talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit of God calling you to his kingdom. Even if no one in this dark world celebrates your relationship with Christ, I can encourage you in this. Even if you're like the shepherds and nobody even takes notice of you and you're in complete obscurity to everybody else, when you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, God takes note, obviously, because he comes in you and heaven rejoices. Perhaps tonight the angels will erupt into praise because some of you or someone will receive Christ as the gift of eternal life. Because the birth of the light of this world, you see, it was witnessed. It's important that we share the joy of Jesus. We're not up here tonight just to have a religious ceremony. I'm not here for that. I'm never here for that. We're really only here for one reason, and that is because the story that we're talking about is so real. It is so powerful that it has propelled us all the way to this day, to this moment tonight. And the Spirit of the living God is working in the hearts of us, that we would be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit, that we would go out of here tonight glorifying Him and praising God and seeing the angels rejoicing because people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The shepherds wanted to see the light of the world. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You know, they didn't even question if it was real. They knew it was real. With all certainty, they said, "It must be true. Let's go see what's going on in Bethlehem." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The shepherds all went together to Bethlehem, the house of bread, to see the bread of life. And we gather tonight knowing that Jesus is both in us, if you're born again, but He's also with us and will always be with us because He says in Matthew 28:20, right? "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." And because of that, tonight, if you're born again and you're here tonight and you're celebrating Christmas with your family, man, hallelujah to you. I pray as we leave here tonight that we share the joy of Jesus. No matter what is going on around us, we know in Luke 2:17 the Bible says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." I mean, when you see it, when you really get hold of it, how many years in your life did you go by and you went through Christmas and you thought it was about Santa Claus or you thought it was about, you had the manger scene, but it didn't click? I'm one of you, man. I didn't get it for many, many years. But man, once you see it, once you get it, once God makes it real to you, man, it changes your life. And that joy that you now have in Christ has to be shared with others. "All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." You know, witnessing the light of the world should cause us to want to share the light of the world. Tonight, I pray we don't leave the light of Christ's birth at the church, but we carry it out of this place because, beloved, we live in a dark and dying world. But take joy in the light of Christ because it is in your heart if you're born again. You know, Luke chapter 2 and verse 19 says this, "But Mary, she kept all these things in her heart and she pondered them in her heart." You see, Mary kept these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. I pray tonight as we prepare to leave, as we light these candles here in just a few moments, as we continue to sing and we praise the Lord and we make our way to get refreshments or take pictures with our family or go to a restaurant or go to your house, do whatever you're going to do. May the light of Christ stay with you and sustain you in time and eternity. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke 2:20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." May the joy of the light of Christ impact our lives, not just tonight, but forever. And the truth is, if you're saved, it has. It's everlasting light. As we conclude our time tonight in God's Word, I pray that our lives give praise and glory to God for all that we've heard and then all that we've seen tonight from God's holy word. Christmas night brought the joy of Christmas light. And tonight, as we prepare to light these candles, I just want to invite you tonight. If you're here and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've come in here with family. I don't know everybody here. Maybe you're a member. Maybe you've been a member here for a long time. But God is convicting your heart of your need to really settle this matter of having salvation. You know, don't leave here tonight without doing that. Because today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You don't know what tomorrow shall bring. And I'm not here to scare you. It's Christmas Eve. It's not Halloween, right? But yet I know how it is when the Spirit of God is drawing you to Himself. There's an uneasiness until you settle that matter and it needs to be settled. And you want to say, well, let's say amen and get out of here because I can't take the pressure. But what God really wants you to do is, you know, those shepherds were in fear. because they had entered into God's holiness. That's where that fear comes from. But God says, fear not. Why can he say that? Because Jesus Christ has already taken our sin upon himself. He is a loving God. He's a gracious God. If he wanted to exterminate us, he wouldn't give us our life. He wouldn't let our heart beat. He wouldn't give us breath. That's not the God we serve. God is a loving God. He is so patient and so kind. But he's not to be trifled with either. And so we need to respond to the call. If you bow your hearts with me, Heavenly Father, as we conclude our time in your word tonight, I pray that if there's one in here tonight that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today they would know that Lord, you love them. You're calling on them and you're reaching out to the darkness and the recess of their heart to bring them unto yourself. Heavenly Father, I pray with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're here tonight and you're like, Brian, I need to be saved. I need to have that assurance you're talking about. Would you just show me with a raised hand that you know that God is calling you to salvation? Anyone at all? I'm not going to tarry. If that's a question in your heart, I do pray that you settle that. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I do want you to know that if that is a question and you're in turmoil in your heart about your salvation, you need to settle that, not because I say so, but the Bible gives the words of assurance. The Bible gives the words of eternal life, so you can know that you have eternal life and you can know that you are secure in the grace of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to just celebrate you and your birth. We pray a blessing on the reading, the hearing, and the application of your word. At this time, I would like to light the candles. The shepherd shared the good news, and so should we. And so Simeon mentioned that Jesus Christ was the light in the Gentiles. Quoting from Isaiah 42:6, he said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The scripture likens the gospel of Christ to a light. And it's called the glorious gospel because it illuminates the soul. In Revelation 1:20, the church is likened to a candlestick. And here in just a moment, as we light our candles, I pray that we that our lives would be a representation of these candles that we're about to light. So at this time, I would like the ushers to come and begin our candle lighting service. And as Lance and Rex, hopefully you did get your little candles on the way in the door. If you didn't, you can quickly make your way to get those. They should be in the back. Rex and Lance will go and commence. And as they do, I just want to read a few passages of scripture to you. As they light the candles, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 says this: "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us," all of that precedes this very familiar passage, "for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." In Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. As you sit there with your candles, and each of you are a picture of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining, and how it illuminates the room as these are lit. I pray that tonight, as we go forth, that our light would be shine, that we wouldn't hide it under a bushel, right? Like the old Sunday school song, and also what the Bible tells us. Jesus said, "Don't hide that light under a bushel. No, let it shine." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time to come together on Christmas Eve and remember the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ at his birth. God with skin on, God becoming a human. It's an incredible thing that you did. You identified with those that were in obscurity. You identified with those that were forgotten by society. Lord, you came to this world in the most humblest of settings, though the hope of the world rest upon you to this very day. And Heavenly Father, as we now acknowledge that, we receive that, we know that, Lord, the Bible tells us that you are near the broken and contrite heart. And that is why you call us to salvation when our heart is tender. And you tell us to confess with our mouth and to believe in our heart that Jesus is raised from the dead. And the Bible says we're saved. And then the Bible tells us that you light us up, Lord, that our gospel is only hid to those that are lost. So Lord, I pray today as we go out of here that the gospel would not be hid. As we sit with these candles in our hands and reflect on the light of the world, Lord, that we too would go forth as lights in the world. That we would emulate Jesus in the humility that he had. Lord, that we would emulate him in the love that he had for others. Lord, that we would forgive others that offend us. Lord, that we would be gracious and kind. Not because it's within ourselves, but because Jesus Christ is in us. And he is the one who gives us the grace to walk in the Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the gift, the best gift we could ever have. And that is your Son, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful tonight. And we ask a blessing tonight upon this congregation and these that are gathered. We pray, God, that you'd be glorified in all that we do and all that we sing and all that we say. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain seated as we sing Joy to the World.